Doc Talk is brought to you by Merck Animal Health. At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.
Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. We're going to have a show today. We're going to talk about 4-H and FFA beef projects. We're going to talk about things from why we do them to how we keep those calves healthy and performing. Stay tuned and we'll be right back after these messages. Hey folks, welcome to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. I'm a veterinarian and have been doing this just a little bit, but as far as my background, I am a owner and operator in production animal consultation, and recently was named Emeritus Professor at Iowa State University. And so very thankful for everything that Iowa State has done for me. And you know, when you think about the land grant mission and you think about our land grant institutions, they have provided some of the foundation for 4-H and FFA for some of these projects that our kids, grandkids, and others get involved. And they're really, really important for our industry, and they're really important for the people who participate in them. And so I always encourage them because, you know, while we get into to our beef production and having people that are, you know, consummate beef producers, showing cattle, showing seed stock, showing club calves, and all that is just great, great family interaction and family fun most of the time. Getting more people involved in the beef industry is really important. And so you think back, why do we do these 4-H beef projects, or why do we do these FFA beef projects? And it's really to help learn about the industry while you have that animal within your care, and understanding what a person's going through when they have 100 of them, or if they have 1,000 of them, or more. And we start to teach principles of good stockmanship, and we start to teach principles of beef quality assurance, which now beef quality assurance should be required for every person that shows a calf. And it is in most instances. We start to think about the different things such as reproduction. We learn all the different beef breeds. We learn all the production parameters, from nutrition to preventative medicine to treatment. We learn about using a veterinarian, about having a nutritionist. All of these things roll into that beef project, and I don't think that should be forgotten. And when we're doing these projects, really put the onus on your youngster to go learn it, right? Because this is an opportunity for us to say, well, what do you think? And then they go and they have more access. They don't just go to the set of encyclopedias like we did when we were kids. And they have lots of information at their fingertips from many different universities. The other thing that students within these projects learn is not only to learn about the breeds and the production, but they learn about the different cuts of meat. I think that's really, really important as we transition into understanding from conception to consumption, breeding, rearing the calf, health, nutrition, cattle shelter, cattle comfort, and you know, all the things that we do on a day in, day out basis in beef production. We're really giving them a crash course by saying, here's an animal, take care of it, do what we do, and learn. So today what we're going to do is we're going to break this down into three segments. We're going to talk a little bit about the nutrition and some of the things that can go wrong with starting these calves in a beef project, and talk about nutrition and what to look for. We're going to talk about health and preventative medicine with that, getting a veterinarian involved. And then we're going to talk about probably the biggest thing that goes wrong with our show cattle is lameness. And we'll talk a little bit about what we see, how we can identify lameness. And then at the end, we'll talk about acclimating cattle and preparing our youngster for the sale of that animal is also vitally important. But it's an important lesson to learn in life, because we do it every day to provide food and fiber for ourselves and our neighbors. So stay tuned. Thanks for being with us today. It's going to be a great show.
DNA Dialogue is brought to you by Igenity Feeder, powered by Neogen.
Well, when most people purchase calves, they have a target number of days in mind, and it's usually based on incoming weight and the type of class of cattle they purchase. But there are other ways to actually try and estimate optimum days on feed. And of course, our trend is to make cattle bigger and bigger. And really, that's because cost of gain in general, in other words, the cost that you're putting into that animal per day, is generally less than the cost or price you're receiving on them cattle per pound. So really, technically speaking, from an economic term, we should feed until our marginal cost, the cost for that day, equals our marginal revenue, which is obviously the price per pound. The hard part in that is knowing cost to gain on a daily basis. And there's a lot of debate about that in the industry. Many industry experts feel like the cost of gain is going up pretty dramatically at the end of the feeding period, whereas I think the data today show that actually cost of gain's fairly level, and if anything, suggests we should be making cattle bigger and bigger, which is why the trend has been to make cattle bigger. The only other thing I'd mention that's really important if you're a feedlot operator is how are you marketing the cattle. So really there's three general methods. Live, so on a live weight basis, one price for all the cattle based on live weight. Carcass weight basis, sometimes called dress basis, or in the beef, that's again one price on a carcass weight, or a grid, which is obviously carcass weight, but also premium and discount for yield and quality grade. I bring that up because if you're a live cattle marketer and selling cattle on a live basis, cost of gains are probably going up more dramatically at the end than if you're a dressed basis or grid-based marketing program. So how you market cattle influences optimum days on feed, but really it's about knowing your cost to gain on a daily basis.
Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. Dr. Dan Thompson here. I'm thankful to be on the show, thankful to be with you today. I'm a veterinarian with Production Animal Consultation, consulting feed yards and packing plants across the United States. Also, emeritus professor at Iowa State, where I get to continue to contribute to academia, contribute to programs that help students, help stakeholders, and more. We're talking about 4-H and FFA projects. And you know, the first thing you have to do when you pick out an animal is get somebody that knows what they're, if you don't know what you're looking for, and you and your child or you and your grandchild or whoever wants to do this project, get somebody that knows what they're doing to help you pick out an animal that fits the breed, that fits the, whether it's a bucket bottle calf or whether it's a replacement heifer or whether it's a market steer. You know, get good confirmation, get good breed attributes, all those types of things, and it'll be helpful. The next thing is you get them home and you're like, well, how am I going to house them? And this is a great way to think about, you know, cattle comfort and trying to keep them out of mud and scraping pens and mucking stalls and keeping them cool in the summer and making sure we have shade and plenty of water space. All of these things are good husbandry practices to teach your student, to teach your child that they'll use the rest of their life. We do it every day. And then we start to think about, well, how are we gonna feed them? And, you know, it depends on the class of calf and the production goal. You know, a breeding heifer or a bull, a developing bull, is not gonna have the same program as a feedlot steer. And with the feedlot steer, let's just use that as an example. When they come in and they're if they haven't been weaned, even if they have, offering them a little hay that first day, or offer them hay until they consume some hay, good quality grass hay, is really important. And then top dress that with your starter ration, something that's, you know, 50-65% concentrate is a good ration, 14% crude protein, packed with vitamins and minerals, to give that calf a good starter ration. And we're going to leave that calf on that starter ration, you know, until it's consuming. You know, we want calves to be consuming at least 1.5% of body weight by 7 to 10 days on feed. Because, and if they aren't, then maybe something we need to check out, whether it's body temp and do a physical exam of that steer. But once we start them on that 65% concentrate, we're going to make three ration changes to that top ration. We're going to take them from 65 to 75 to 85 to 90 or 92% concentrate, which concentrate is everything but the roughage, everything but the hay. And so the first step is done after we make sure that animal's healthy. You know, there's no real time limit on it. But once we make that first change, about every 7 to 10 days, we're going to change rations to that top ration. So if we make the change from the starter ration to the second ration, say at day 20, then on day 27, we're probably going to change from the 2 ration to the 3 ration. And then on day 34, we're going to change from the 3 ration to the 4 ration. And we're going to monitor intakes. It's something that the kids should do. They should be monitoring intakes, and they should then be increasing or decreasing the feed based on how much that calf eats the day before. But just good husbandry practices. You can't beat good grass hay, you know, with these critters. Sometimes I'll use that to take the edge off of them in the afternoon if they've consumed all their feed early in the day. But again, working together, picking the right animal, good cattle comfort, and good nutrition gets them off to a good start. And now let's go talk about preventative medicine and health. Stay tuned. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson. I'm glad you joined us today. We're talking about 4-H and FFA projects. And, you know, I got into some of the things at the beginning, really important projects for students and for young people to get involved with to really learn our industry. And we should embrace these and attend these. And they're a lot of fun to watch and see kids compete and be proud of their animals. And I love the showmanship of asking questions and having them answer, you know, what kind of feed they've been on and what kind of growth technologies were used on these calves or, you know, how were they housed and all that. But let's talk about health and preventative medicine. And the first thing you got to do with health and preventative medicine is when you buy the calf, no different if you buy a puppy or buy some other animal, is ask questions about, have they been vaccinated? What were they vaccinated with? What were the dates in which they were vaccinated? So that you have a good snapshot in the health and the vaccination program. Have they had a deworming? Have they been in dry lot? Have they been on grass? You know, all of these things. And so we ask those questions because that's part of a good biosecurity program. If you're bringing the animal from one state to another, you need to get health papers and you need to make sure that the veterinarian knows what is required to bring an animal from one state into your state. And so as you bring that animal in, having good health papers is part of a good biosecurity plan. Once the calf gets on the premise and you know the vaccine history, one of the things I would do is I'd talk to your local veterinarian. Your local veterinarian will help set up a herd health program or an animal health program for this animal. And they understand the vaccines that have been used before and the vaccines that need to be used once they get to your premise. There are some core vaccines such as IBR, BVD, PI3, and BRSV, along with Clostridium shovii or blackleg, 7-way Clostridium vaccine, that are kind of our core antigens as identified by the American Association of Bovine Practitioners. However, there may be other endemic diseases in which there are vaccinations for. This may sound crazy, but you can vaccinate a steer for rabies. And sometimes that if it's an important animal in your herd, vaccinating that critter could be vital, could be called for. But as we start to think about some of these things that we can vaccinate, just get the veterinarian involved. Other things that can be done for health of these animals is ventilation. Okay, if we put them into barns or we put them into stalls, cattle were born to be out in the open and in the pastures and in the range. And one of the key things to understanding, the two things on health is, one, if you stall them or you have them inside, is ammonia levels or ammonia smell. And that indicates lack of ventilation or lack of pen cleaning or both. And so ventilation is vital. Parasite control programs, whether we're controlling for coccidiosis, which those calves could bring in, and if they're in the dry lot, we can put them on a coccidiostat and clean them up like Rumensin or Decox. Another one is parasite control. Have a good parasite control program, whether you're going to use a fenbendazole white dewormer in combination with an ivermectin is very, very important. And then there's external parasites. How are we going to control for lice? How are we going to control for flies? All of these different things, a checklist, herd health checklist, is vital to the success of these calves. Work with your local veterinarian. They'll make you that program for you, and then follow it in your good veterinary client-patient relationship. We're going to take a break. When we'll come back, we'll talk about acclimation and lameness. You're watching Doc Talk, and we'll see you here in a few minutes. Hey folks, welcome back to Doc Talk. I'm Dr. Dan Thompson, and glad you joined us. We're talking about 4-H projects. And one of the things is when you get a steer or get a heifer, you really need to, as your student or as your child or your grandchild or nephew or niece or whoever's working on this project, get a good gauge for the docility of that animal. If we have people that aren't used to working with cattle and don't understand, they're not a horse, they're not a dog, they're not, you know, understanding the behavior and teaching, taking time to teach the behavior of warning signs of when this animal is frightful, when this animal is curious, when things are, is really, really important. Okay. And those normal behaviors help your student understand when there's abnormal behavior or sickness or injury or maybe they're out of water or, you know, those types of things that I think are really, really important to being a good stockman. And so I think that taking the time in the beginning and then acclimating that calf to you and to the person with the 4-H project is vital. They've got to spend time with those animals to build trust, to build acclimation. This isn't something we put in the lot and then we go, you know, break it to lead behind the tractor the week before the fair. Those days are over. This is about spending time with that animal, working with that animal, accountability, responsibility, what we're trying to teach. So it's no different than what we want them to exhibit in the job when they grow up, is to take accountability and responsibility for these animals. One of the most common things that we see with show cattle is lameness. And I'll just walk through our different grades of lameness. And remember, 90% of lameness is in the foot. But the first sign of lameness is short strided. The back leg, when in a animal that's normal, the back leg should land where the front leg leaves. And if we start to see where the back leg is landing short of where that front leg leaves, we're starting to see some issues of lameness. As we increase in severity, we go from short strided to short strided with a head bob. And on a front leg lameness, the animal's head will go down with the sound, meaning the good leg is when the head's going down. And so when they bob down, that's the good leg. So you match it with that step. And then if they get really severe, we've got issues. But looking at mild lameness is what judges are looking at. It's what you should be looking at as an owner of that animal. We want good locomotion. And so if we start to see lameness, that's when we need to get a veterinarian involved to get a good diagnosis of exactly what's causing it. And then the last thing about showing animals is talking all the way along with your student about what's going to happen at the end of the show season, right? When we get done with that show season, one of the hardest things, you know, we ask our kids to take care of these animals. They take care of them, they feed them, they water them, they live with them, they break them, they show them, and then at the end of it, we sell it. And we sell it for slaughter. That's one of the things we don't have to do with breeding females as they go into the herd. But with a market steer, it's that steer's going to go, and that's part of life. Okay, it's no different than what happens on that separation when we take that calf away from the cow at weaning. That cow, we asked them to take care of it the entire time, and now we've taken away, and so there's that separation period. But really work with your student and tell them this is part of life, this is part of production, and help them prepare mentally for what's going to happen at the end of the season. Thanks for watching Doc Talk. Remember, if you want to find us, you can find us on the web at www.doctalktv.com. Always work with your local veterinarian, and I'm Dr. Dan Thompson here in Manhattan, Kansas, and I'll see you down the road.
At Merck Animal Health, we're shaping the future of animal health with pioneering science, connected technology, and insights-driven solutions to bring our customers an unparalleled portfolio of choices to improve cattle care and operational efficiency. We support you and your legacy by helping you meet the challenges of today with the innovations of tomorrow.